You're listening to FMGradio.com. Welcome to The Happiness Choice, a show that shares with you the secrets to how you can find more happiness each day, with your host, Marilyn Tam.
Hello and welcome. This is Marilyn Tam, your host to The Happiness Choice. Today we bring back Dr. Edward Gilbert, a board-certified radiation oncologist. He has worked and directed programs in leading-edge medical centers, including Stanford University Medical Center, Eisenhower Medical Center, and the National Cancer Institute. What makes Dr. Gilbert even more special is that he has extensive training and practice in the mind-body connection in cancer treatment. And I have to say, since last week's call, I have much more exciting things to share within what his bio says. Dr. Gilbert, aside from being a very well-trained professional in oncology and radiation, he is also a patient of his own specialty, where he was treated with radiation for prostate cancer in 2004, and his cancer is happily in remission. But he has also had, basically, I would almost say, a connection with the greater, not passing into the light, but a similar experience that he shared last week about how he's learned to be happy. So this week, we get to talk to Dr. Gilbert about how you too can find tools to be happy. So let's welcome Dr. Gilbert.
I'm glad to be back. Thanks, Marilyn.
Oh, I can hardly wait. I'm so excited. Can you give us some tips, Dr. Gilbert, on how people who are in physical as well as mental pain can choose to be happy, how they can learn to be happy?
Yes. Well, what's interesting, Carl Simonton and I were best friends for over 30 years, and I was starting to learn how to compose music in the early 90s. I had a terrible neck problem from working at the computer too much. My whole spine had gone the wrong way, and I needed to be off for a couple of years at that time, and that's when I learned to compose music. And I was in a lot of pain with the neck if I sat in the wrong position or whatever. And Carl came to me and he said, you know, Ed, shaman rhythm patterns, 120 beats, are key to any of these ceremonies of the healers. And perhaps we can compose a piece, and I'll do the drumming, and Ed, you do the composing, at that rate with different melodies that go from the lower chakras, as one would say, the energy bodies, up to the higher spiritual. And so we worked on that for a number of months and came up with two pieces of music, both 22 minutes, kind of a good meditation piece. What was key to that was I used it for my neck pain. And again, as I mentioned last week, I listened to my own music a lot because I don't stop until it's what I want it to sound like. But here, with this special 120 beat music, I was able to relieve the pain. More important, my brain waves, and we measured it with biofeedback, me and about 15 other patients, people, that you go into an alpha rhythm in your brains, and even some theta, which is sort of miracle dreamlike state at the 14-minute, 15-minute point, which brings great joy, great comfort, and relief of symptoms. And so music to me, and I had composed a whole bunch of pieces of music at that beat beside what I did with Carl, the music itself would bring me into peacefulness, a joy, and a happiness. So I continued to compose through the years, and more recently actually shifted to another rhythm pattern. But what also happened was the recognition of the need not only for us to talk to our souls with music, but also to bring beauty into our environment. The beauty of nature. And recently I got to go to some special places like Machu Picchu in Peru and Bhutan in the Himalayas to do a lot of photography. And the photography had a purpose, and that was to capture the beauty of sacred spaces and then to compose them in a way with the music. And I had mentioned my website last week. All that is up on my website. You can, you know, feel free to listen to a lot of the music along with the shows of the pictures. But my passion now is to create these environments of photography and music in spaces that will allow for healing and, more important, will allow for certain joy and happiness that emerges when you're in these places. This is well known to happen because our art goes right to your soul and allows something magical to happen in that context. Machu Picchu, I've been hoping all along that I could do more with the photography, and I'm really excited because on Saturday in Plano, Texas, the Plano Art Association gallery will be featuring sacred spaces of Machu Picchu, the pictures of that. And when I went there, I actually had a special spiritual experience in the holy man's chamber, a small area of stone. The energy and the power of it was really big. I had asked a question regarding the issue of the soulmate and the other, and I actually got a vision. And why I even bring this up is I think I've been able to capture that with the photography. And when hopefully you watch it, you will have a similar experience, even though you're not physically there. That would be my hope. And this is what I'm evolving and trying to do. Now, along those lines, I got an experience in Bhutan, which was recent. And Bhutan is, some consider, the happiest place on planet Earth. You know, they rank different countries, but and I don't know how well Bhutan is actually ranked, but many will consider them about the happiest place. In 1972, their king declared a national happiness index, and it's based on a number of criteria. And I wanted to see what a people that are considered happy are all about. And I can tell you, go to Bhutan. You're going to find Shangri-La there. It is magical. Mm-hmm. And what I ended up doing, instead of, I took a lot of scenery shots, but I started to concentrate on the children, on the faces of the children. And I am in awe of something that I see in those faces, in those children. And again, judge for yourself. One can say, well, you photograph children all over the world and you can see joy and this and that. Yes, probably. But I'm now talking about Bhutan, where it seemed universal. It seemed like all the children had a special look about them. And so that excites me to know there is a place that has that kind of energy, that has that kind of focus, and that hopefully, again, I'm capturing something that can be utilized in a larger way around the world to say this is where we need to go.
So, Dr. Gilbert, you're saying that for somebody who is in pain, mental or physical pain, they should just go to your website and look at these pictures and the music, and that will help them. What if they just don't have access right now to a computer? What can they do in their own place, in their own environment?
To do that?
To be happy.
I'm sorry. I have to laugh because even though I had the first IBM PC in 1981, my claim is I wish we never had invented the computer. I mean, it's taken more than half of my life's time. Anyway, that said, when you said if they don't have a computer, what are they going to do? You know what my suggestion is? Go to the library and use their computer and take a look at it. And if it does something for you, you can download the music, some of the key pieces of music. I have it available. And, you know, if you really, really love it, email me and I'll send you the actual movie.
Mm-hmm. What other tools do they have? Because maybe some people just are not as attracted to working on a computer. Maybe one thing I find that really is helpful for people to get in touch with their bodies and to understand the pain is to get back into nature. So
yes, absolutely. Well, again, this is a way of doing it, but there's nothing that beats the primary doing of walk in beauty, walk in nature, and you recognize again and don't take a walk with 104 degrees in Dallas, Texas. I mean, that's not going to make you happy. But I mean, go where you can feel the nature, where every breath gives you peace where the surroundings, whether you're even blind, you can feel it. Even if you're deaf, you can sense the vibration. And I say that metaphorically and also actually. Being in nature is key because it returns us to our real spiritual connection. So absolutely, that's one of the tools.
Yes, I know that you said not when it's 104 degrees outside, but in my book, The Happiness Choice, I cite a study where people were two groups. One group were told to go in the winter, in the dead of winter, dreadfully cold time, to walk through an unheated arboretum. So that had nature there, but of course it's frigid cold. And then another group were just asked to walk in the city, just on city streets.
Right. I saw that was from Toronto. I saw the study.
And what's so interesting is that the people who were freezing to death, literally, in this cold arboretum came back happier, even though they didn't realize at the time that there is energy being transmitted.
Yes,
that
yes.
Makes us happy. So I would encourage people, whether they able to think they're enjoying being in nature or not, to know that it's actually doing something positive to ourselves, to our sensory awareness in many levels.
Well, let me say more about the 104. Obviously, as I mentioned last week, an old mentor of mine used to say, consciousness loves contrast. You know, if you're uncomfortable, 104, and you're sweating, and you come upon the pond or a hose or whatever, and you cool down, boy, the joy is there. If you're in a very cold environment, every cell of your body is alive. So again, you know, obviously, it's being there and having the experience of every cell being alive, whether cold or hot, or what you do about it.
Mm-hmm. What other suggestions do you have for people who need some support, need some tools to get happy, especially in this time of the year when there's so much going on around the end of the year, beginning of the year? What would you suggest for them? What can they do to get back into a place of happiness?
Well, you know, the original self-help program, which is also Carl Simonton's cancer program, was predicated on meditation, was predicated on visual imagery, on the ability to calm yourself, to picture good places, hopefulness, etc. And really, again, you bypass a lot and get right to your soul. And that's something, these are disciplines that are easy to learn now. You can learn it through tapes or through books or through programs and on and on. I mean, they're all over the place. In fact, I even go as far as to say there's not an Olympic team that doesn't go through a meditative practice before they go out on the field or have an activity and on and on. And these are easy and key ways to get back in touch with those joys in your life, picturing the good things or the feelings of happiness. So I'd say that's the easiest and number one way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And last week we talked also about having a life purpose, that when we align with what we are here to do, then we're naturally feeling that whatever we're experiencing has a reason, and that helps mitigate any suffering we might think we may be experiencing at the moment.
Right. Well, one of the best things that ever happened in my life along those lines, and anyone can do this now, is putting yourself where you are helping others. I was asked to, I haven't thought of this in a long time, I was asked to go down to an orphanage in Tijuana to deliver Christmas presents, and the year would have been about 1985. And we went down there, a couple of us, and had all the presents, and when we were done handing them out, there was this, I'd say 8 or 9 year old boy who was crying, and two of us looked at him and went over, and it turns out that he was blind, and the package that he had been given was a book, which of course he couldn't read, and there was one present left, so we grabbed it and gave it to him, and it turned out to be toy trucks because they were all wrapped up. Mm-hmm. And the book that he was given was about trucks, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the happiness that we had in seeing this young boy who was blind and crying suddenly have joy, was our joy also. I would say if one is suffering from anything, pain or whatever, you go out and you help others who have similar situations and who can appreciate how you're out there with them and you're not alone. And believe me, that will help your pain and suffering like nothing else.
And because we are human beings that live and thrive in community. So when we're sharing, we are connecting to others and we have relationships, and the community is what gives us the joy to know that we are not here alone.
And the energy from unconditional love, which is, you know, which by definition is when you have no ulterior motive other than being present and what comes through you, that is unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And that will heal like nothing else. That will relieve suffering of your own like nothing else. And so that's something that one can do. Get out of bed and go do it if you can. It'll make magic in your life.
Well, thank you, Dr. Gerber. That has been so, as time is passing so fast, I can't believe that we've taken up all our time. Any one small tip before we close?
Don't lose hope.
Don't lose hope. And that is so true. You are here for a reason, and that you can make the choice to be happy. So thank you again, Dr. Gilbert. Please give us your website so they can find out more about you and how to connect with you and listen to your music and watch these beautiful photos.
It's www.drg's website. That's drgswebsite.com. That's one word. Dr. G's website, one word.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gilbert. It's been a pleasure. So this is your host, Marilyn Tam, signing off on The Happiness Choice.
You've been listening to The Happiness Choice Show with host Marilyn Tam. For show info, schedule, and guest bio, be sure to visit www.fmgradio.com/Marilyn Tam. That's MARILYN TAM.